Ding.
Yep, I'm recording here too. All right. Oh, here we go. Hello and welcome to the big show. I'm Jeff Gamet, sitting in for Ewan Rankin, who is on special assignment today. And hopefully he will have everything wrapped up in time to join us for the Mac show tomorrow, because I know people like looking at him more than me because he is, after all, so beautiful. So, Ewan, we're looking forward to seeing you when you get back. And Rich, how are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. Just keeping warm in all the snow we've had and all of that. Trying not to get stuck in my little car. I might have done that once this week a little bit. Turned out all right, though.
You know, the snow thing for me is really weird right now, because you have snow. The eastern United States is buried in snow. I live in Colorado, in Boulder, where we expect to get snow. And it's warm enough outside that if you need to put a coat on, it just needs to be a lightweight jacket.
Wow. Yeah. I've been told that I don't know I'm born when it comes to the snow we've got here. I think I'm right. I think they're right.
Yeah. Well, sorry we didn't grab it for you.
It's okay. We're making do.
Yeah. Well, it's an adventure. Patrice, how are you doing?
When you were talking about the weather, that was really funny, because it was exceptionally warm here today. Like, I want to say like 58 degrees or maybe even 60, which is for like, what is it now, February? Definitely not the usual.
Mm-hmm.
Light jacket, yeah, definitely. That's what I wore today. So,
yep.
Other than that, I'm good.
Awesome. Busy. And I want to give you a public thank you for all the help you've given me in sorting out issues with getting the live stream to work again on my end. You are awesome.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm happy I could help. Like, makes life for me easier too. Like, I'm not the only one who can do it.
And it makes my life easier when I don't have to sit here and just keep fiddling with settings trying to figure out what I have wrong. So thank you. we haven't done a Boulder Wildlife update for a while. And I figure it's about time, because it's been relatively quiet over the past several weeks. But just a few days ago, since last week's show, a mountain lion took down and killed a deer just a few blocks from my house, right in the middle of town.
Wow.
Okay.
Mountain lion was hungry.
Mountain lion was hungry, and deer was on the menu.
Yeah. Well, either hungry or just craving some, like, I don't know, deer goulash or something?
Sure. I mean, a nice venison steak.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So anyhow, better the deer than me.
Definitely, yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, nothing against you, Jeff, but I also think the deer might just taste better.
I certainly hope so.
I think that's what saved you.
Yeah, I do not want to be on the menu.
No.
All right. Well, it's just the three of us today, so the likelihood that each of us will have a news story that the other doesn't has just gone up. So
I think we'll be fine.
I think we'll be fine. Yes. So who has a story? and we will start with Patrice.
Yeah, my story is a really funny one. So if you're still a reader of Wall Street Journal, like the paper thingy, like newspapers, you know,
I remember those
recently. You remember those? Okay.
I do.
There was a really interesting ad someone put in the other day. It was a 90-year-old AT&T customer, has been a customer since the 1960s. He bought a Wall Street Journal print ad to complain to AT&T about the slow DSL speed that he gets. Because he apparently only gets like 3 megabits down. And that hasn't changed in forever. And AT&T doesn't do anything about it. So someone went to really great lengths to get the attention of the CEO of AT&T.
Well, and he lives in North Hollywood. Okay, that's a very interesting part of the country.
Yes, definitely. But it's like, it's really funny. Like, he couldn't get the attention of AT&T any other way. And apparently, I mean, this was it.
From what I've heard, this is pretty much a good example of AT&T customer service.
Yeah.
That if you want their attention, take out a full page ad in a newspaper for $1,100.
You have to be really frustrated with your internet service to drop $1,100 on an ad.
I would be that angry if he's getting 3 megabit down.
Oh, yeah.
Me too.
Yeah, you can't live with that. That's...
And it's not like North Hollywood is an isolated area. It's part of Hollywood. So
it's not like the middle of nowhere, Kansas or something.
It does, right. Like... It is in a very well-established, infrastructure-wise, area. Mm-hmm. It's a city.
Yeah, exactly. It's like you would expect that you get more than 3 megabits. He actually says it's just 1.5 megabits. So it's not That's even horrible. That he gets that.
That is horrible. Okay, so my question is, why is he still using AT&T? But I probably know the answer. And it's that there are no other options for him, which is a big problem in a lot of areas. For example, where I live in Boulder, I have Comcast.
Mm-hmm.
So I have cable broadband. And I have that because that's my option.
Yeah. Well, it's the same in Phoenix. Like, depending on where you lived, it was either Cox or CenturyLink. Mm-hmm. There's no choice. Like, you just, depending on the area, you got one or the other.
See, whereas I'm in a weirder situation in that I have a lot of choices of ISPs, but they all will give me exactly the same service because they're all coming in over the same wires run by the same backbone company.
Of course.
Yeah.
All so shit.
I'm quite lucky here. It's better here now than where I used to live. I get about 50 megabit down, which is all right. If I could get proper cable installed, which would go faster, but that would cost more money, and they're very picky about actually installing cable. I tried, and at one point after, what was it, it got within about a week of the installation date, and I got an email that said, hang on a minute, we're not sure there's a cable where you live now. We need to send out an engineer, and it might take up to a month for him to come out and see if there's a cable there. And you think, no, I need internet now, thank you. So I just went with the over the phone line one. But yeah, it doesn't matter who I'm with. They're just coming over the same phone line. So, and if there's a problem, they'll all phone the same company to come out and fix it. So it's choice without that actually being a choice. I can pick who I want to give my money to for whatever service I get.
It's crazy. Yeah. I mean, I've been in a situation like that as well. And in Germany, basically Deutsche Telekom, which is I think the former owner of T-Mobile USA, didn't they sell it or something? I seem to remember that. Anyway, like, it's basically a monopoly. They own the last mile, I think they own like 70% of the entire network. So no matter which like ISP you select, ultimately, it's always Deutsche Telekom who like takes care of everything and like pays the technicians to do anything. So the services, like, they don't care about you. They're like, I mean, we have like 70% of the market. Like, what? Like, who cares?
Yeah.
Like, we're not going to lose money.
Yeah, there are some cities around me that have municipal broadband. Which is great because now you're buying your broadband from the city, and they also have their own utilities. So you're buying your electricity from the city as well. And so you tend to get better service and better rates, surprisingly, from the government handling it. And you can get crazy fast broadband speeds for super low prices. And Boulder started looking into doing this at one point. And the way it ends up working here is to have the capital to be able to get the infrastructure in place for municipal broadband, you really need to be a municipal utility as well, because the money that comes in from the utilities will supplement the funding for broadband while that gets up to speed. So for several years, the utility is covering a lot of the cost of the broadband. And our utility plans, municipal utility plans, look like they've fallen through, which means that our municipal broadband idea is on very shaky ground, which is really disappointing, because I was really, really looking forward to being able to switch over to municipal broadband and get substantially faster speeds at a much lower cost. But here we are. At least I haven't had to take out a full page ad in a newspaper.
The idea of having municipal utilities is wonderful to me, but I'm kind of, it feels awfully socialist as a thing, which again is fine for me. But it's, I mean, we used to have British Gas and the electricity board and that, and the Conservatives sold it off, privatized the lot, and now we own, I think the French own all of our power now or something like that. Mm. And it would, yeah, it would be great to me if we could have like paid the city for the power. Mm. What a wonderful idea, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we still have that here. I think it's technically a private company, but it's like wholly owned by the city, more or less. We have that here. They're super expensive. Like that compared to like for what they deliver, it's crazy expensive. Like you can get in like other independent like providers that just you pay less.
Interesting. Very simple.
Yeah. I mean the reason is very simple. They're the default. Like a lot of people, like it's the same thing as with like previously, like Deutsche Telekom. A lot of people just like that's what they've always had. Like they've always gone with that. Like that provider with that utility. So why would they switch? So most people do it. And they're always the fallback. Like they're by law required to give you a service. So like they don't have to make it cheap. They don't care. If you want to switch to something else, someone else, you can. It's up to you. So it's yeah. I understand that. I mean I'm like you have choice. It's not that you have to go with them. It's more if you're too lazy to do something else or to switch, then you pay for that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So while we've been talking, I've been scanning through the Ars Technica article. And at the end, it says that Epstein hadn't received response to his open letter from AT&T. And so when Ars reached out to AT&T, AT&T said, yeah, we're going to get in touch with him. Okay.
They don't care so much.
What?
It's amazing, isn't it?
It's
yeah, and then they provided the stupid standard statement. We continually enhance and invest in our wireless and wireline networks.
Except at Mr. Epstein's house.
It's like, yeah, okay.
I'm honestly surprised.
Someone in the article is even said that AT&T slowed down the fiber to the home construction since they've completed what they had to do. Like they had, because of the merger, they had some obligations, like how far, how much they apparently had to invest or how far, I don't know. So they slowed it down after that because why not, right? They've done what they were required to, right?
It might as well have just said we contacted AT&T and they emailed back a GIF of somebody shrugging.
That would have been funny. Like, that would have been awesome.
Is it internet bad? I don't care. I clicked open.
It would have been honest.
Now, I have my cell service through AT&T. And I've actually had really good luck with customer service when I've needed to contact them. And, you know, like there was one year that when my new iPhone showed up, it would not activate. And so I ended up on customer support on the phone with them, and they figured out what the problem was. And they're like, okay, so we're going to flip the switch that activates your service. And then the line was dead. They said, and then there was nothing. My phone had stopped working. And I'm like, what the hell? And I, you know, I'm looking at a phone, it just says no service. And then my new phone starts ringing. And it was the person they called back, and they're like, I am so sorry. I hit the button before I finished saying, and this phone will die, and then I'm going to call you on your new phone to make sure it's okay.
Oh, that's funny.
So anyhow.
Well, at least it worked.
It totally worked. I had a moment of rage, followed by a phone call, and I was like, hey, this is great. It works. There have been a couple other times I've needed to call them, and they've been really good. But at the same time, when they've offered me other services, I have told them, no, I'm not interested, because, you know, I've heard about how poor the customer service can be for a lot of their products. So I'm not going to push my luck.
Good plan.
Yeah, I wish I could tell you good stories about AT&T customer service, but I can't. Like, we've been, like, my company in the US, we've been corporate customer with them for many years. We had a couple hundred phones, I think, in total. We had nothing but issues with them. So I think they finally switched, like, last year.
Yeah, that sucks.
And I mean, as I said, for a corporate customer, and we're not, like, I mean, we're paying a lot. Like, we're traveling internationally, we're constantly on the phone. Like, I mean, like, the phone is a lifeline for us, and, like,
You should have a personal account representative with a direct line to them.
Yeah. I mean, they probably have bigger customers. Like, we're definitely not, like, we're probably small potatoes for businesses, but still, like, I mean, we had a business, like, account and, like, representative, but I said they didn't care. We had nothing but issues with them. Like, we had phones come back from employees that left, and they were locked because the employee didn't care. So the reactivation locked, and we could not, and AT&T should have reset them, but they just didn't do it. Like, they can. I mean, we had, like, we got them from AT&T with the invoices and whatever, and Apple just said AT&T should do it, and AT&T just never did. So we had, like, bricked phones in, like, inward drawers, stuff like that. So,
wow.
Yeah, so as I said, like, that wasn't a great experience, and it was expensive. I mean, it's not cheap as a business customer.
You should have taken out a full
paycheck. We switched to Verizon. We should have, yeah. I mean, that would have been actually relatively cheap compared to what we paid. So,
yeah.
We switched to Verizon. That was much better experience.
Yeah, and... Yeah, if you end up, you go where you get the good service. That's it.
Yeah. I mean, and I mean, we have an IT department. Like, they know what they're doing. They're not like a rando customer who doesn't know anything. Like, I mean, we have professionals working with you, and if they are not happy, then you have a problem.
Okay, before we move on to Rich's story, I have to share this because it will be shocking and appalling to you. This story about Mr. Epstein and his, at best, 3 megabit connection, this is not surprising to me. There are vast parts of the United States where this is probably the best broadband service you can get. And you would think with a country that is as rich as the United States is, and with as much technology development that happens here, that we would have a good broadband infrastructure, and yet this Epstein story is no surprise to me at all. And, you know, I live in the middle of Boulder, and I am paying $83 a month. And finally that bumped me up to 100 megabit connection, but that's for download. My upload speed mm-hmm. is still 5 megabits.
Well, yeah, it can be great in some areas. So I like my house in Phoenix and where my wife still lives, we get 900 down and like 30 up, which is ridiculous.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, but like that's like you're lucky, like if you're in that area.
Yeah.
So now, really depends.
It does. And if I lived in Longmont, which is one of the municipal broadband areas, mm-hmm. which is about a 20-minute drive for me, and it would be faster if I could take like highways to it, but from mm-hmm. here it doesn't matter. It's about a 20-minute drive, and I can have insanely fast download and upload speeds mm-hmm. for I think it's like $30 a month, and
wow.
and it's substantially faster than what I'm getting right now.
Yeah, I mean, that's the other thing. It's expensive. Like it's fast, but it's also super expensive. Like at other places, like I said, we're with Cox and we pay $130 just for internet, like nothing else. Yeah. I mean, it's worth it, but still.
Yeah. Well, and yeah, my $83 a month to be able to get my price down to that, I had to add in a cable television bundle.
Okay. That makes no sense at all.
No.
Which I don't want. And I had to take one of their cable boxes to go along with it. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I don't want to plug this in. I have no place to put the cable box. I just have an Apple mm-hmm. TV connected to my television, and that's all I need. Do I have to connect the box? And they hemmed and hawed and finally said, no, you actually don't. So I never opened the package. It's at the back of my closet, buried under a bunch of other boxes. and that's where it will stay.
Yeah, awesome. That makes no sense. You have to buy more stuff to get the price down.
Yeah,
that's cable companies.
That's uh-huh, cable yeah. companies. Yep. Rich, your story, believe it or not, was one of the two stories that I was thinking of bringing today.
Was it?
Yes,
of course.
Which is Google is shutting down its Stadia game division.
They are indeed. I think it's quite a significant thing. I mean, I had Google Stadia as my cool thing a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. The platform itself is fairly sound. The concept works and that sort of thing. But clearly, they've always needed to shift the way they were running this thing since even before it launched. When they announced it, there was outcry as to how it was going to work and what it was going to cost and that sort of thing. And I think clearly they're not getting out of having a game studio what they were hoping to get, which would obviously be lots of games that people want to play and come to Stadia for. So I think it kind of the writing on is on the wall for Google mm-hmm. Stadia. I think, which is what's been the worry about it all along. Why invest in a library of games for this thing that they're probably going to shut off in a couple of years? And now we've had mm-hmm. the first big thing of and you've closed your game studio now. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, unfortunately it's Google.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I wish it wasn't so, because like quite some stuff they do is really, really good. I mean, I'm not a big fan of Google, like not gonna lie, but they do some really cool stuff. But they also shut down most cool stuff at some point.
Yes, absolutely. And yep. It was frustrating enough when that was Google Reader, mm-hmm. which I've never yes. really recovered from, I'll be Same. Honest.
Yeah, and, Reader, Wave, there have been so many.
Yeah, and when they're charging the price that they're charging for games, it's just a god, no way. I'm not sinking money into it. And so I think this will be like the beginning of the end now. This is just one. Now this step has been taken. I'm certainly not going to invest in games on it. And I couldn't blame anyone else for not doing so either. So it's probably just going to fade away until one day.
Yes, of course it's going to just fade away.
Yeah. I mean, they clearly want to run it as a platform, but that's all well and good. People are only going to put games on that platform if people are playing them on there.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you're only going to sell a couple of thousand copies, why bother?
Yeah, and I think that's the problem with Google, and like that they're shutting down a lot of things. If it was any other company and they had, like, I don't know, acquired a platform and a game studio, and then at some point said, it's successful enough. We want to focus on the platform and not focus on making games. That's some other people's business. That would have worked. I think that would have, like, or could have at least still continued. But with Google, you don't know whether that's the first step, and then they're just going to shut down the platform. So nobody is going to invest in it, because, I mean, you don't want to invest into something that is gone in like a year or two.
Absolutely not. And meanwhile, GeForce Now over at NVIDIA is still going strong. Mm-hmm. They're building it up. It's got a pretty good reputation, and I don't need to invest money into it to use it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Google has a horrible track record with products. And
it's true.
And when they come out with something new and interesting and exciting, I have a really hard time getting worked up and excited about whatever it is. Because my assumption, and I think the assumption of a lot of other people, is, well, this is cool, but it's going to die because Google will kill it. That's just what they do. And so the Stadia news is no surprise to me at all. And it's unfortunate because, you know, that this was actually cool, and it seems to have been working really well, you know, from a technical standpoint, and yet they're killing it. And I'm betting Amazon is really happy with this because Andy Jassy, who is taking over CEO for Jeff Bezos in a few months. He said, I think it was on Monday, that Amazon is very invested in making their gaming platform work.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't they just launched one recently?
They launched one recently. And they had a couple like big games, and they both flopped horribly.
Right. Oh, Luna.
And so what he's saying is, yes, we totally blew it with these games, but we're learning and we're figuring it out, and we are not giving up, and we are going to have a solid gaming platform. So he is presumably in the position to follow through with that, since he's going to be the CEO very soon, and he is the guy that made Amazon Web Services, and that's the big money maker for Amazon. So okay, maybe it'll happen.
I mean, If Google had been smart, like, let's say they wanted to get out of making games for, I don't know, they're not profitable, like, they're not their core business, whatever. If they had been smart, they could have just spun out the company, like, as a separate entity, and then sold it. Like, said, okay, like, we're going to continue with this for, like, a couple of years, and then, like quietly look for someone who wants to buy it and do that. And keep it around, but just not as a Google thing anymore. I think that would have been smarter for the platform. But
Amazon might have bought them out as just another Alphabet company.
Yeah, is that? But if they want to get rid of it, clearly they don't want it in their portfolio. But otherwise, why would they shut it down? But if they wanted to keep the platform, then just, as I said, like spin it off and then sell it off. Like make it independent somehow. And I say, okay, it's not part of Alphabet anymore. Like just it's just another third party studio.
And the frustrating thing always seems to be the point at which they decide to cut things off, because they'll have products that aren't big enough for Google, because they're not Gmail, they're not search. And so Reader goes when it's got something like 10 million users. And you sort of think, well, how many companies would kill for a website that had 10 million active users? That's incredible. Mm-hmm. And you think, oh, it's not Gmail, so let's turn it off. Like, how many Gmails are there on the internet, really?
Not many.
You have to deal with having some smaller things alongside, surely.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know about the like economics behind it, but I also like if it's 10 million, I think you can make that work from like a business perspective. It might not be what you initially expected or what you want. Like, sure, you want the like 7 billion customers, but
yeah, you can still make it work. You have to start with a few million before you get to a billion.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right. So I haven't read through the whole article because lazy. Does it say anything about Google saying that it didn't fit with their monetization platform, meaning they couldn't figure out how to data mine their game players?
They haven't mentioned that, no.
No. I don't think they have really mentioned, at least the article doesn't mention any reason, really.
No, I don't think they've really given a reason. Just general PR speak, what is it? Given our focus on building the proven technology of Stadia, as well as deepening our business partnerships, we've decided we will not be investing in bringing exclusive content from our internal development team. It's just blah, 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 like not doing it.
Yep, exactly.
And it kind of goes to show that you can't just take a load of random people and put them in a room and expect a brilliant game to come out. There's more to it than this.
Yeah, Amazon's learning that as well.
Yeah.
A lot of big players have learned that.
Yeah. These things are an art form, and you can't just go, here's Super Mario. It takes something to get that done and make it happen. And it's not just coders in a room writing code and doing artwork and that sort of thing.
If Cyberpunk 2077 has proven anything, then it's that.
Yes, it is hard. You read my mind.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. And actually, Patrice, I was wondering, just a little thought at the back of my mind, did the chaos and debacle of the launch of Cyberpunk 2077 have anything to do with this? Where Google looked at that and they're like, you know, what we're making has a very high likelihood of having the same problems, and yeah, screw it, we're out.
Maybe so.
Yeah, you don't know what they were working on. Maybe it was horrible.
It just shows off how they've dealt with the whole thing, though. I mean, you would think if you were launching a new gaming platform, you make the games before it comes out so you can go, hey, look at my new gaming platform with these great games on it. And we're 2 years in, and they're shutting down the game studios with them having never released a single thing ever. And it's, come on. Have you not been shown examples of this? You know, did you not see that the NES came with Super Mario Brothers and Duck Hunt? That this was figured out 30 years ago, and you're just, well, don't know, we'll make a game one day, perhaps.
Yeah, I kind of wonder whether their thinking was that because they're Google, they would provide a platform and everybody else, like the big names, and like they would just flock to it and like would just use it. Completely ignoring that all the others are doing the same thing. Like everybody is building like platforms like that.
Yeah.
And well, go ahead.
The platforms that some people are building are already compatible with the software that's being made. I mean, look at xCloud and that, you know, if it works on Xbox, it works on xCloud and PC. That's much better for your time and money if you're a development studio.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I wonder how many people had the misconception that I had, which is that Stadia was doing fine and that there were actually games out. Now, I'm not a hardcore gamer, and by I'm not a hardcore gamer, what I mean is I buy the casual games for the iPad and play them partway through and then lose interest and never complete games. And that's the extent of my gaming. And I thought that Stadia was doing well, and I was clearly wrong.
Yeah, I don't think they've never officially said how well it's doing, which is a bit of a clue as to how well it's doing.
I agree.
You know, if they had 100 million people on there playing games every day, we would know that. They would be very clear about that. Yeah, it's just not worth. I mean, you mentioned Cyberpunk 2077. We had a game come out that ran famously badly on existing consoles, so people didn't want to buy it on their PS4 or their Xbox One X. They're waiting for the next gen things. And if you want to run it well on PC, you kind of need a really kick-ass gaming PC to get everything out of it. So when I realized I could get this on Stadia and then it will just run perfectly. But I had a choice then of, do I buy it on Stadia and have it linked to that and within that system, or do I buy it on Steam and then it's mine in my library, and when I upgrade my PC, I can play it on there. And for now, I can play it on GeForce Now, which will play that Steam version perfectly well, mm-hmm. with all the ray tracing and that sort of thing, at half the price of Google. It's a bit of a no-brainer. So they've kind of missed out on that one as well.
Yeah, they have. This is sort of like their Ping moment, I think.
Yes. Ping. Oh, my God.
Yeah, and for those of you that haven't been in the Apple ecosystem long enough, or have the ability to easily block out bad memories, Ping was Apple's attempt at a social network system, and the hook that they were using was, hey, this is all around the way you listen to music and all the cool stuff that goes along with music. And it also will work with Facebook. And Facebook was like, yeah, wait, what?
Yeah.
And that never happened. And Ping, it hung on as best as it could for just a little while. And then finally Apple decided that the best thing they could do was put Ping out of its misery and send it to the big social media network in the sky.
Yeah, there's an entire planet of like unsuccessful social media platforms.
Yes.
I think Google made most of them.
Google made quite a few of them. Yeah.
Yeah, they did. All right. So my story, which could have been Rich's story, is about this artist who created a website, and the website offered to make like Twitter verified badges for your house.
Okay.
But you had to meet specific criteria, like you have to be a professional athlete. You have to have at least 5 listings in IMDb under your name. There are all these different weird criteria, that, you know, like very specific things. And then if you met all this criteria, then you could fill out the form requesting your verification status so you could get your plaque for your home, and it costs $3,000. But hey, you get a free consultation on where to place it on the outside of your home for best visibility.
Oh, good.
I was just thinking I should get one, and then I heard the price. I'm like, no.
No. So the blue verified badge for your home thing, she did this whole thing as satire. And most people were able to figure out by the website what she presumed were horribly done Photoshop images showing badges on houses. And as you read more and more on the page, it's supposed to be even more obvious that, practically ham-fisted, that this is satire. And yet they got a lot of people filling out the form. Now, some of the people knew that it was a joke and filled it out accordingly, but there were a lot of people that filled it out thinking, I can get my, I'm a important person, blue check mark for my house. And they were seriously thinking they could do this.
Yeah. The thing is, this is kind of the golden Apple Watch. This is so ridiculous that, it must be real, right?
Okay, yeah.
Nobody could come up with something too stupid.
I would certainly find a way to start producing these damn things.
Oh, yes.
Wanted to give me $3,000 for them. Or you could just say, pay me the $3,000 and I'll not let anyone know you fell for this.
Well, what she's thinking about doing now, because there apparently are enough people that are like really serious about this, there's this whole process that she lists where you have to have an interview with the review board to make sure that you really are worthy of the blue check placard for your house.
Can I be on that one?
she says she has a group of actors that are willing to play the role of this board. And so she's thinking about setting up the interviews with some of these people and recording them. And
she doesn't need actors. Maybe like I'm volunteering. I'll do it. I'll be on the review board.
that is a YouTube. That's a podcast I'd listen to.
Oh yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Totally.
Oh, that is brilliant. Yes, yeah. Definitely do that.
Said, I'll do it.
Oh, I would gladly be on that panel.
Oh, me too. Yeah, let's do it.
I would love it. maybe we could set up. Let's go ahead and commit Ewan to doing this.
He's on board.
He's totally on board.
He's totally on board.
The what will we call it? The BTN the BTN True Believer plaque, the ultimate BTN supporter plaque. I don't know.
The red B.
The red B. The red B plaque.
That's it.
I think we have our show title now too.
Yeah, I'm just writing that down.
Yes. Okay. So Ewan, we're going to be on the panel to help with the review process for people that submit their application for the Red B for their homes. And we'll let you decide what the price will be for submission. And this is going to be great. Okay, so I'm sure next week Ewan will have everything in place, so we can start accepting applications for the Red B plaques. This will be great.
Yeah, just head over to BritishTechnicWork.com/RedB.
There we go. This is going to be great. Okay, so people, hop into the Slack chat room if you are in our Slack, and start asking you and when the website will be live, so you can start applying for your Red B plaque.
Totally.
Yes, and I'm going to make a point to not mention anything about this part of the show to Ewan, so that
Yep.
Okay. Hey, we have sponsors for the show. Surprisingly, even when I'm here, there are sponsors for the show. TSO host is absolutely awesome because they make sure that we have the server space and bandwidth we need to bring all of the BTN podcasts to you and make sure that there's a place you can go and find previous episodes. And they are absolutely awesome. Without them, we would not be able to be here, for good or ill. But without them, we would not be able to be here. And so they are awesome. If you need some hosting, great, hit them up. If you don't, that's okay. Still, head on out to social media, your favorite social media platform, and give TSO Host a shout out and a thank you for supporting us, because they are absolutely awesome. And everyone needs a happy ego boost. So give TSO Host a happy ego boost. Give them a shout out on social media.
But use the like the more like mainstream social media. I don't think like the dying ones. They're not on Parler or like.
Yeah, Ping. Don't go there. Tell you what, go to Twitter and Facebook, and I suppose if you're really into LinkedIn, hey, why not give them a shout out there too. But Twitter and Facebook for sure.
Yeah. Don't travel to the planet of dying social media sites.
No, don't go there. It's a sad, sad place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So thank you, TSO Host. Also, iMend Max, they are awesome and have been a sponsor for over a year now. If you have anything with an Apple logo that you need to get fixed, they can handle that for you. And the great thing is, instead of just looking inside your laptop, for example, and saying, oh yeah, this one component is bad, throughout the motherboard and put a new one in. No, they can go down at the component level and pull out that bad piece and solder a new one in and give you your computer back and save us from having even more tech junk going into landfills. So that's absolutely awesome. They also sell used computers and iPads and iPhones. So if you're in the market for a good deal on some Apple gear, check them out. And if you want to hear what they have that's really cool this week, well, you're going to have to tune into the Mac Show tomorrow to find out, because Callum from Iman Max will be on the show. And he'll tell us what the deal of the week is. The one thing that Callum says he won't fix is an Apple product that is wrapped in fabric. But I'm going to go ahead and commit him to doing that anyhow, because he's not here to defend himself. Send in your iPod mini, make him fix it. Or excuse me, HomePod Mini. I totally ruined the joke. I can't believe it. But check out iMac. Well, iPod
Mini would have been fun too.
I bet he could do an iPod Mini. Yeah. iMac Max. Go check them out. And there is still a contest going on where you can win an iMac Max mug or an iMac Max Qi charger that also has a couple USB ports for charging extra devices. All you have to do is send an email to, what is it?
BritishTechNetwork@gmail.com.
There we go. BritishTechNetwork@gmail.com. Patrice, I would be lost without you. Seriously. So send an email to BritishTechNetwork@gmail.com. And in that email, include the names of all four people that work at iMend Max. So I've already given you one, Callum. And if you want to find the others, an easy way, an entertaining way to do that would be to go back and listen to the Christmas special, because all four of the people are listed there. Mm-hmm. So do that. Get your submission in so that you can win a mug or a Qi charger. And when Ewan's here, he can show them off, and they're really cool.
They are.
You
know, Jeff, like with us two together, we almost make up like one brain. Almost. You remember some stuff. I remember some stuff. Like,
that's true. Works. And one thing you remember that I never seem to remember is where people can go to find the links to the articles we talked about today.
Oh, yeah, that is a good point and very easy. Just head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat and then navigate to the 4th of February 2021. And there you will find all the links and everything we talked about, the entire chat. And as always, never click on a link that Muller Biker has posted.
That is the most important advice anyone can ever have. Yes. So Patrice, thank you for being the better part of my brain.
I'm not too sure about that.
Well, it's a trade-off. It's a handoff.
Yeah, exactly. I'm the part that remembers URLs and links. I don't remember anything else.
And I'm the part that remembers to, wow. Yeah. You are the better part. Yep. Yep. Hey, cool things. Rich, do you have a cool thing?
Yes. This week I'm gonna pick Just Watch, because I've been using this a lot. Basically, this is one of those things where you sign in and add in all of the different streaming services that you may or may not subscribe to, and then can do a search for something you might want to watch, and it will inform you that that's on the one streaming service that you don't pay for. But if you're lucky enough, maybe it will tell you which of the ones you've actually got you can go and watch something on. And it is just infinitely useful. I use it as an iOS app. There'll be an Android version, I assume. But you can get the website justwatch.com/UK. I'm wondering now if there's actually a US version.
I just looked. Dave. If you hit justwatch.com, mm-hmm. you're good. And I think it redirects mm-hmm. for whatever country you're in. If you hit justwatch.com.
Awesome.
And the cool thing is, it works, I think, in most countries. Like, it works definitely in Austria and Germany and so on. So I can tell you, awesome.
I'd heard of, I think it's Can I Stream It before, and they, mm-hmm. that only covers the US, which is not really all that useful to me. But this one, yeah, they've got iPlayer and Channel 4 and Sky and everything else. It just helps you make a little bit of sense of the fact that you've now got 127 different streaming services.
Yes.
Yeah, and every day we get a new one.
Yeah.
Yep.
Something plus. Yeah.
Soon, there will be Jeff's Cat Plus.
And it's going to be an epic, epic channel. All in 4K. Mm-hmm. It's going to be wonderful. It'll consist primarily of cat breaking Lego builds. That's her new thing.
But you know, I was tempted to watch the Steve Carell morning show on Apple TV Plus, mm-hmm. and I haven't got a free trial for Apple TV Plus anymore. Are people paying for it now?
Some no, are, yeah. Not really.
I feel like I should still. I bought a damn phone and everything. I feel like I should just have it for free at this point.
You
should.
Okay, so if you had a free 1 year subscription, mm-hmm. your subscription is the free part is extended out till June now,
right?
And if you have the Apple One package, then they're crediting you with, I guess, App Store or iTunes Store credit, $4.99 or the equivalent in your country every month through right. June.
I think what I've done is I canceled the trial.
Yeah, I think you can't get back.
Yeah.
Oh, if you did that, then you're kind of stuck.
I'm screwed, aren't I?
I mean, if you really wanted to, you could probably reach out to the customer service, and I'm pretty sure they can set you up somehow.
That's true. And also BitTorrent's still a thing.
So. Well, that's true, yeah. That works too.
It was, do you know what? I'd got off with pirating TV shows was always a big thing when I was at uni, when broadband was just sort of coming out, and I would go back to my mum and dad's house at weekends where they had it and download the week's TV shows for the house and bring them back. And it was great. And then Netflix came along and I stopped that because there was no need to do it. And now everything's everywhere and BitTorrent's back. Not that I endorse that kind of behavior.
But it's the circle of life.
It is indeed.
Yeah. All right. Well, then I guess that leaves just my cool thing, which is TV series season 4 of The Expanse. It's on Amazon Prime, and it just wrapped up the season yesterday. And it had the last episode, no spoilers, because that's not what I do. The last episode had surprises in it that I was not anticipating. Yes, I know that makes it a surprise, but you can sometimes anticipate things that are coming, and there were things that happened in the episode that I was absolutely not anticipating. So, it's really well done, and just like last season. It does, well, like every season, it does, of course, leave you on a cliffhanger. So you now have to sit here and impatiently wait for season 5 to come out and see where everything is going. But it was a really well done season. I was really impressed with it. And it's a season that could have been weak, and it could have felt very disjointed. And that is not what happened. They did a great job of putting everything together and making the storyline run very smoothly. So, yeah, season 4 of The Expanse, Amazon Prime. All right.
My cool thing.
Oh, crap. Patrice, I'm so sorry. I thought you had done your cool thing. Oh, no, I'm so sorry. Not.
But actually, that was very good because it gave me time to figure out what I wanted to do.
Oh, see, because... that's the brain thing working.
I've decided to. I wanted to pick The Expanse, but I decided that like 5 seconds before you started, so that's fine. I have a long list of shows to pick. I'm going to pick Ted Lasso. It is an Apple TV Plus show. It is amazing. I think I'm going to rewatch it again. It just picked up, I think, multiple Golden Globe nominations.
It did.
So it's, and they just, I think they just started filming season 2 and they've already confirmed season 3.
Oh, great.
So we know there's more coming. It's a great cast. It's great writers, great showrunners. I mean, it's like, it's just an all-star team almost, I want to say. I mean, it's Jason Sudeikis, who's like, I think, a good actor and definitely really, really good in the role. There is, I'm blanking on the showrunner. It's the guy from Scrubs, the showrunner behind Scrubs. Of course, I'm blanking on the name now. What's his name? Let's just check Andy real quick. Awesome podcasting.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're all professionals here.
Exactly. And people are probably screaming at their phones right now. Bill Lawrence. There he is. Bill Lawrence is the showrunner behind it. There's also like Zach Braff is a director in a couple of episodes. They have the British actress Hannah Waddingham is also, I mean, well, from what I've heard, well known in the UK, and really, really good. So it's just a really good cast and it's a really good show. And it's like, I thought I would hate it, to be honest. Because I'm not into soccer.
Same.
I think I'm not into sports in general. I'm definitely not into soccer. So I thought I would hate it. And I just, like, after a couple people mentioned it and that it was really great, and I was like, okay, I'll give it a try. Like, I'll do like half an episode. And if I like it, I might like continue. If not, I'll just save it. I couldn't wait for the new episodes to come out. Like, I was literally waiting here. Like, I watched them. I remember, I think they came out on a Friday. I made sure I watched them before the Mac show every Friday. like it came out and I had to watch it like in between finishing work and like Mac show had to be done. It's this good. So highly recommend it. It is on Apple TV Plus, as we just established. There are other means to get it.
Awesome. Okay. And with that, we have made it through another show, and no one died. So I'm going to take that as a really good sign. Rich, thank you for being here today.
It's been an absolute pleasure.
And well, it's always a pleasure, and I'm so glad you're back. It's just great to have you around.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
Second that.
Yeah, and Patrice, thank you. You're the best. And listeners and viewers, thank you for joining us. And Ewan will be back with us next week. I'm committing him. He has no idea. But Ewan will be back with us next week. And as it turns out, I will be here tomorrow morning, my time, I guess afternoon, everyone else's time for the Mac show. And Patrice will be there too.
Yes, always.
Always. Yep. Well, it's good because otherwise the other half of my brain wouldn't be there. And that would be bad. Yeah,
we can only show up like together on a show. Otherwise it doesn't work.
That's right. This is how symbiotic relationships work. So thank you everyone for being here. Ewan, we're looking forward to seeing you when you get back. And thanks to our sponsors, TSO Hosts, and I'm in Max, and everyone have an awesome day and an awesome weekend.